perhaps the most mysterious factor in the standoff between the United States and North Korea has been what's on the mind of North Korea's dear leader, General Kim Jong-il, who ascended to power in 1994 after the death of his father. Wendy Sherman was a special advisor to former President Clinton and met Kim Jong-il with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright while on a visit to Pyongyang in the late 1990s. She joins us from her office in Washington, D.C. And Ambassador Sherman, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
And Katie Oh is a senior researcher at the Institute for Defense Analysis and author of the book North Korea Through the Looking Glass. She joins us in our studios. Ms. Oh, thank you very much for being with us.
Happy to be here with you.
And Ambassador Sherman, let me ask you the high hard one first. What do you make of Kim Jong-il? You're one of the few people that we can actually talk to who's met him.
I think many people think he's crazy, a lunatic. He's been called many things, you know, bizarre behavior. I think none of those adjectives are quite accurate about him. There's no question that he is an authoritarian ruler, that many people have starved to death in his country, that it is an economic collapse. There are no human rights. There are no freedoms. It is certainly no place that any of us and any of the listeners would ever want to live. But he is an intelligent man. He has a sense of humor. But he exists in a system that is more like a cult than a government, where everyone wears a lapel pin with his father's picture on it, Kim Il-sung. And there are monuments all over the city to Kim Il-sung and to Kim Jong-il. And it's very hard to imagine what a person becomes when everywhere they go, they are in essence a god or the son of God.
You mentioned he had a sense of humor. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you remember an instance of that?
I can't remember a particular instance of the humor, but I remember one time when he was we were at dinner, and he had some performers about to perform for us, not the unbelievable and rather frightening stadium rally, but a stage performance. And I turned to him and I said, you know, I think that at some time in a previous life you must have been a director. And he was completely delighted with that and told me about that he owned every Academy Award movie that had ever been made, that he really liked to watch movies, and seemed to take some delight in the whole production.
Singing in the Rain? I mean, what was in the dear leader's video library, I wonder?
I think he has quite an extensive video library, and that rumor had been around for a long time, and it is, in fact, appears to be the case.
Katie Oh, let me turn to you.
I agree with Ambassador Sherman's description of Kim Jong-il very much, but I would like to emphasize that couple of very peculiar things about this gentleman. That is, he thinks he's an equal of every important global leader, including President Bush. Mm-hmm. And I think that's precisely the problem, because he's actually thinking he's bigger than his reality.
Mm-hmm. And that, as far as he's concerned, the leader of North Korea isn't the leader of a backward, barely developing nation, but of a world power.
No, because he was a crown prince and he was anointed successor and groomed in that particular environment for the last 20 years, he thinks he's really the controller of entire society and he can be an equal match of every global leader. And that's exactly the problem source lies.
Given the range of experience that both of you scholars have had, I'm wondering if we could begin first with Ambassador Sherman. Without meaning to read Kim Jong-il's mind, how do you read what he has done over the past few months, since in the fall when North Korea acknowledged that it had secret nuclear weapons under development?
I do think that it is ultimately about regime survival, and I think he has always been concerned that the United States would use its great military power against his country, no matter what we said. When Bill Perry, who helped do a policy review for President Clinton, and I went there in May of 1999.
This is former Defense Secretary
Perry.
Yes, former
Defense Secretary Perry. We were at the time bombing Yugoslavia. And every meeting we went on, people said, we will not be Yugoslavia. We will not be Yugoslavia. And I'm sure Assistant Secretary Jim Kelly, when he was there at the meeting where they fessed up to their covert, highly enriched uranium program, they were saying, we will not be Iraq. We will not be Iraq. They believe that their only leverage, given that they are a collapsed society, are these horrible weapons of mass destruction, and they want to make sure that it is a deterrent against us taking any action against them.
And Ms. Oh, what is your reading of what's happened since the fall?
Kim Jong-il is considered to be a so-called leader of a big thinking. In Korean, they call Gwangpok Jeongchi, means politics of broad scale. He does not want to be viewed as a small, buddy-minded man who is usually intimidated by outside global leaders, particularly from American leaders. I think for the past 2 years since 9/11, our rhetorics and descriptions of North Korea has been unnecessarily very harsh. And particularly expressions such as North Korea is one of the members of Axis of Evil. That situation, I think, particularly triggered Kim Jong-il. And in his mentality, I read his mind that he thinks that if I give an inch, Americans will take a foot. So in that case, let's do, instead of sitting quiet in our cave, but let's move more aggressively. In a sense, he's a true believer of Mao Zedong. The best defense is the offense. So he took strategic offense. He not only confessed incredible October surprise that they had a highly enriched uranium program, but they said, we are even thinking even bigger picture.
In your judgment, has the Bush administration's process of deliberation, has their sense of judgment been in any way affected by the focus on Iraq?
America's position and debates on Iraq every day monitored by North Korean leaders, and they examine, they have a brilliant analyst and their foreign affairs observers, and that's exactly what we see today, Kim Jong-il's maneuvering of the situation when we are seriously engaging in Iraq situation.
Inside North Korea, is there anybody who can reach Kim Jong-il? Is there, who are around him? I'm assuming there's no opposition.
Inside North Korea, there is no opposition. Yes. There is no distinction between ideologues and reformers. He has very trusted half dozen number of people that he can call anytime, midnight, early in the morning, whenever he likes to do. Mm-hmm. And certainly the well-known names such as Kang Seok-joo, who is the senior vice foreign minister. They have about 9 to 11 vice foreign ministers at a certain time. He is one of them. But the problem is that these people are always maybe the listen to Kim Jong-il first and see how our leader is working today and behaving today. And in a sense that there is no equal match as a senior advisor to advise or consult with him saying that, sir, you should do this today. In that sense, I think Kim Jong-il is a very lonely goat in that own society.
I think that's an important point. Kang Seok-joo, who was my primary interlocutor through this process, has certainly survived for quite a long time, but there have been periods in his efforts where he has been sent back out to the country to the labor camps to get readjusted. And so this is a very dangerous path for any advisor to Kim Jong-il.
Somebody who's going to be an advisor to Kim Jong-il has to anticipate his mind more than try and form it.
I think so, though. One of the things I think I was struck with is when we did sit down with Kim Jong-il, it was with an interpreter and Kang Seok-joo. And he, in fact, on a couple of occasions turned to Kang Seok-joo and asked his view or asked for a piece of information. I didn't get a sense that that was all pre-orchestrated, but I'm sure Kang Seok-joo was very careful in his response.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie Oh is a senior researcher with the Institute for Defense Analysis. She's joined us in our studios. And Wendy Sherman was special advisor to the Clinton administration on North Korea. She is a principal with the Albright Group, speaking with us from her offices in Washington, D.C.